Earlier, when you were considering who you would invite to dinner, would you climb a tree to make sure they saw you in a crowd? It's a question that I want to start with because we all assume, often I think, that we wouldn't be that person climbing up the tree. But what if it was a rock star that you just had to get a glimpse of and snap a photo on your iPhone so you could say that you were there to the world? Or what if it was the president coming through town, and the only way to see him was to get higher and higher on a ladder? Would you do that? It seems to me that tree climbing affords us a different view, but in a desperate sort of way. For Zacchaeus, he's the sort of someone that knew deep down that he had gained the whole world but forfeited his soul. Someone who knew that deep down in his heart, he had a hunger. He had a yearning that not all the shekels in the Roman Empire was going to satiate. You see, Zacchaeus was curious. He just needed a glimpse. He needed to gut check all the stories that he had heard, fantastical though they might be, about this ragtag carpenter from backwater Nazareth and his followers that were changing lives town to town to town. And yet, curious though he was, it seems very unlikely that Zacchaeus's scramble up that sycamore tree was not something that he was eager to have his fellow Jerichoites witness. My hunch is that he was hiding up in that tree. He was not sitting there with his legs dangling inelegantly from beneath his tunic, holding up some hand-painted "Welcome Jesus" poster board sign, like one of those eager people who daily mug for the camera. They hold up the "Hello, I'm from" sign at Rockefeller Center, where the Today Show gets filmed in New York City. He wasn't one of those. He wasn't trying to get the attention and do the "Look over here at me, Jesus" thing. No. That wasn't what Zacchaeus was about at all. Instead, I think Zacchaeus was likely well ensconced in the foliage of this sycamore tree. He was peering out from behind the leaves and the branches and hoping that as the parade passed by, the crowds and Jesus himself would be too preoccupied by what was going on at the street level to notice him up there in that tree. So when the parade stops, when Jesus looks right up at Zacchaeus, and when the rest of the crowd then follows suit, all the gazes upward, I imagine that Zacchaeus's first reaction was a deep gulp, this rush of blood to his face, feeling like he got caught where he so didn't belong. But Jesus speaks kindly and says that it is Zacchaeus's house where Jesus will stay for the day. And Luke tells us that Zacchaeus fairly tumbled out of the sycamore tree, welcomed Jesus with joy. There is something about the very presence of Jesus that changed this sawed-off little crook. And Luke 19 makes clear that Zacchaeus really did not climb up into that tree looking for a change in his lifestyle or his outlook or even his fiscal practices. He had not set out from his house that morning hoping to have a 180-degree turnaround and even a change of heart. Zacchaeus, well, he was just curious, that's all. Ah, but sometimes curiosity is the outward manifestation of an inward emptiness and restlessness. Oh, don't we understand that so well? On the surface of Zacchaeus's life, he had it all. He probably even told himself that he had it all. He strutted around Jericho, giving off the vibes of a man who had it all. Zacchaeus was not one to appear shaky, not one to appear uncertain. There was a steely glint to his eyes. There was a certain set about his jaw, a certain jutting forward in his chin that was the mark of a man who had it all together, who knew what he wanted, and he knew how to get it. And Zacchaeus, who had, as a matter of fact, mostly acquired what he wanted already. Any of this sounding familiar? And yet, there it is. Jesus has singled out Zacchaeus in order to stay with him, honoring him with his presence, much to the chagrin of the crowds. And then Jesus honors him a second time by not arguing with his claim about his righteous behavior, but instead affirming it, declaring that no matter what the crowds may think, yet Zacchaeus is indeed a child of Abraham, one of the covenantal people, this beloved child of God. And like it or not, and let's face it, we don't, Jesus seems to say, and contrary to all expectations, that this chief tax collector is one of God's own, and even more, that this tax collector lives like it. Talk about a new way to view your neighbor. You know, from the outset of Luke's gospel, throughout all of its narrative, Jesus sides with those on the margin, those who are considered the down and the out, those whose hearts have been battered, whose hearts have been shattered, those not counted as much in the eyes of the world. And while Zacchaeus is rich, he is nevertheless despised by his neighbors. He's counted as nothing. You know, even worse than nothing. He was a tax collector. And yet, Jesus singles him out. Why is that? I don't know if Jesus knew of Zacchaeus's exemplary behavior. We cannot know that. And yet by seeing him and calling him and staying with him and blessing him, Jesus declares for all, that's you, that's me, everyone there, to hear that this one, even this bottom of the social strata, this chief tax collector is a child of Abraham and a child of God. And perhaps in that moment, Jesus is again at work in seeking out those who are lost, whether through their own actions or those around them, in order to find, save, and restore them. Which of course means that any heart, yours and mine, can be opened. It's that promise that anyone who desires to see Jesus will be found, will be saved, will be restored, have their heart open. And more than that, anyone who desires to see Jesus will in turn be seen by Jesus. And in this way, have their joy made complete. Who in your world has been left on the margins? Who has to climb a tree to get attention? Who has been ruled out of bounds? Who doesn't get that dinner invitation, much less a chance to stay at the home of a loving family? Church, this story is much, much closer than a sycamore tree in the Bible Wayback Machine. God is always up to the unexpected, you see. And perhaps this story of this man, Zacchaeus, is one more example of the impossible possibility that Jesus embodies and regularly manifests. And so I'm wondering here alongside you today, how can we nudge open our hearts a little? How can we open our arms a little wider? How can we check our privilege at the door and be about the people that God is sending our way in these days? Because until we belong, until everyone belongs, we won't believe in the impossible, death-defying love of God. That is good news indeed.